Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Congratulations on getting through your 9 to 5. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. Coming up in just a bit, in case you missed it, we were joined by the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quint Lucas. We'll play that for you. Today is day one of the streetcar expansion. I remember back in my day, the streetcar just went from City Market to Union Station. Well, not anymore. Now it goes from City Market all the way to UMKC and the Plaza. We'll talk to the mayor of Kansas City about that in just a bit. One thing I would like to note before we dive into a little bit of football is I'm just happy that the construction is done with Main Street. The construction on Main Street was awful for a long period of time. I also never thought that we would complete the streetcar, get all the construction done, and still have no clue where the Chiefs and Royals were going to be. But you know what? That's another subject for another day. We'll obviously play for you what the mayor had to say about that coming up in just a bit. Before we get into football, I want you guys to remember to make your next era orange at Baker University, the first university in Kansas and ranked number one in return on investment among private universities in the state of Kansas. Baker University, forever in our orange era. We certainly got a lot of love for Baker Mayfield. Appreciate them being a sponsor of the show. So let's get into this before we play our conversation with the mayor of Kansas City. You could argue that this is the most important week for all three of the local college football coaches. That's what the focus of this weekend is. With the Chiefs on Monday Night Football, you can just kind of sit back on Sunday and just relax and look at the rest of the league. You can enjoy Sunday Night Football. You can enjoy Cowboys and Broncos. You know, this is a light, easy Sunday for you. Monday, stressful, but this is a light, easy weekend. But the stress is on Saturday. The stress is in college football. Let's start with the rivalry between Kansas and Kansas State. 16 consecutive years, they have just put belt to backside when it comes to Kansas State over Kansas. It's hard. I mean, it is hard to beat one team as many times consecutively as we're talking about. I mean, this is like what Nebraska used to do to terrorize the three local schools. Like, that's what we're talking about here with the dominance that K-State has had over Kansas. So let's look at it through the KU perspective. A major reason of why these renovations are happening and the speed in which they are happening is because of Lance Leipold. For those of you that don't know, it's in Lance Leipold's contract. When Lance Leipold was thinking about leaving and he was being entertained by a lot of places, Nebraska really wanted Lance Leipold to be their head coach. There were a couple other job openings. He decided to stay. One of the provisions in his contract was if they didn't start working on the schedule, he could leave with no buyout. So they started getting to work. They started digging. They started constructing. Now, the new stadium is beautiful. If you haven't got a chance to go, I encourage you to go check it out. It's perfect for the program that Kansas is. It's a really, really nice stadium. So the investment is there. We don't got to talk about David Booth and the $300 million donation that he's made. $300 million. So the money is behind it. The facilities are also behind it. I think the KU has the better quarterback in this game as well. So we're talking about you have home field advantage. You have the quarterback advantage in this one. Man, it's time to go get this win if you're Lance Leipold. You have done a lot so far at the University of Kansas. Now, I don't think you're winning the national championship there. I don't think KU's winning the Big 12 anytime soon. But you've checked a lot of the boxes at the University of Kansas. Man, there's one box that is just unchecked right now. You got to figure out a way to beat K-State. You don't got to beat K-State every year. That's not the expectation at Kansas. But it can't be 10-0 in the decade the way that it's been. It can't be that. You got to be competitive. You got to beat this team. That is a program that you measure yourself up against. And this is as close as it has been in a while. I think Kansas is the better team. KU fans, this is no shade. When was the last time that you felt like you had the better team than K-State? Man, it's been a while. And you've come close. You've knocked on the door a couple of times. Man, it's time for you to walk through the door. To hell with knocking. Walk through the door. Go beat K-State. Now, on the K-State side, this season has not gone how you expected it to go. I mean, K-State's supposed to be in the conversation. They're supposed to be what Texas Tech is. They're supposed to be what BYU is, one of those marquee teams in that discussion. That's how they should be viewed. They should be viewed like Arizona State. That's the conversation we're supposed to be having about K-State. And that ain't really how this season has gone. Now, Kansas State is playing better football. I don't want to make it seem like they're not improving. They absolutely have. But this has been a disappointing year. K-State's not winning the Big 12. They're not going to a major bowl game. This is where we are with Kansas State. If you lose this game to Kansas, this season goes from disappointing to a potential disaster. So right now, K-State is 3-4. They're 2-2 in the league. You lose this game. Let's say you are 3-5 with four games to go. You play Texas Tech. Now, that game's at home. I don't want to completely dismiss it, but Texas Tech is better than you are. On the road against Oklahoma State, that's a bad football team. They've already fired their head coach. On the road against Utah, I don't know how you can pick K-State at this point to go on the road and win that game. And then you got a home game against Colorado. So I'm not saying that bowl eligibility is out of the window if you lose this game. But, man, you really, really got to get going. If we are talking about you potentially being one of those teams that can end up making a bowl game. It's been a disappointing year so far for K-State. They haven't won back-to-back games, but they've won two of their last three. You had a bye week. Same thing for KU. You got to figure out a way to win this game if you're Kansas State. As I said, I think you could argue that this is the biggest week for all three of these coaches. So we've just gone through what this means for Kansas, what this means for Kansas State and their rivalry. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a four-quarter game. It's going to be great. And if you missed the coaches, check out the podcast page, 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app. Now, let's talk about this from Missouri. You've heard me talk about this over the show. This feels like a playoff game. This is a playoff game for Ole Miss and Oklahoma in the SEC. It's also a playoff game for Missouri and Vanderbilt, which sounds incredibly crazy to say. But that is just where we are right now in the sport. If you look at Missouri's schedule the rest of the way, I'm not going to say that winning this game gets you in the playoff, right? Doesn't get you in the playoff. But it is a massive, massive feather in your cap to get this win on the road against a team right now in Vanderbilt that's ranked in the top 10 and has all the respect in the world. It makes the home game against Texas A&M the biggest home game that they've had in quite some time. I know the Alabama game was big. I didn't really buy into it the way that everybody else did. I'm not saying it wasn't important. Like, that wasn't the most important game of Eli Drinkwitz's career. This is on the road against Vanderbilt, and next week certainly is against Texas A&M. If they win that, Missouri, who's currently ranked 15th, would have to think they move up in the polls. Maybe we're talking about Missouri being ranked top 10, depending on how the week goes. And you got a top 10 matchup at home against Texas A&M, a team that I don't think there's a big gap between you and Missouri. That's a massive, massive game. They haven't even announced the game time for it. That might be a night under the lights kind of football game for Missouri next week. And I also don't think that Eli Drinkwitz has this kind of win yet. Remove the fact that it's Vanderbilt. This is not the Vanderbilt that you schedule for homecoming. This is a top 10 team that we just saw beat LSU last week and has gone toe-to-toe up against some of the best teams in college football. They don't have a win like this under Eli Drinkwitz, a top 10 win on the road. This is by far and away the best win that Eli Drinkwitz has had in Missouri if they can figure out a way to win this. Now, let's talk about this from a Vanderbilt perspective for just a little bit. We don't got to spend a lot of time on it, but if it's going to be a playoff game for Missouri, it's a playoff game for Vanderbilt as well. After this, Vanderbilt goes on the road against Texas. I think Vandy's better than Texas. Auburn and Kentucky at home, better than both of those teams, on the road against Tennessee. I think Vandy kind of controls their own destiny if they win this, talking about the postseason. I think their schedule down the stretch is better, easier than Missouri's. I think Vandy is a playoff team if they win this game, which sounds crazy to say. But I don't know if that's even going out on a limb at this point. Vanderbilt will make the college football playoff if they win this game. I think they beat Texas next week. Now, the game against Tennessee, but if you're telling me your two losses are at Alabama, at Tennessee, I think Vandy still gets, especially with the win on the road against Texas, and in this scenario, you beat Missouri, I think you end up grabbing one of the final at-large bids. So you cannot undersell how important this game is, how massive this game is. It is a big weekend in college football. There's some interesting games in the NFL. We got Sunday Night Football, Aaron Rodgers going up against the Packers, Broncos, and Cowboys, I think is going to be a good game. But at least for me, my focus is on the SEC, Ole Miss, Oklahoma, Missouri, Vanderbilt, and also the Sunflower Showdown between Kansas and Kansas State. Earlier today, we got the opportunity to be joined by the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quint Lucas. Today is a banner day in Kansas City. The streetcar is finally expanded.
Is an historic day in Kansas City, another sign of great progress ahead.
So let's talk about this historic day. What does this mean for Kansas City with the streetcar expansion?
First of all, it means much better density through the city. You will see more development, particularly in the Midtown area. That connection that will be open soon between the riverfront, so CPKC Stadium, the women's soccer stadium taking you all the way to UMKC, is a game changer. It means that, frankly, every conference, every convention, every venue, whether it be the big soccer stadium, whether it be any other stadiums that could be built in between now and then, and everything going on, is newly connected. You have about 200 to 250,000 people that will be in walking distance of the streetcar system itself, greater access beyond it. This is a big deal, I would say, to the entire region.
Rob and I were talking about this as we were getting ready for the show today, just the evolution of the city. You know this as well as anybody. You and I both grew up here, man. The city has just changed so much over the last 10 years. And I remember there was such pushback in the very, very beginning to the streetcar. And I think a lot of it was people like you seeing the vision of, wait, you got to look at this as not just this 1.5 mile stretch. You got to think about all the possibilities. And it feels like today is that vision finally come true.
You know, it's absolutely right. Today, during the remarks, I got to talk about the fact that the Congresswoman for Northeast Kansas, Johnson County, Sharice Davids, and I went to law school together. But we had a chat probably about 2010-ish after school. We were back in Kansas City, and we were talking about what is the future of Kansas City? What does it bring? We never in our wildest dreams could have imagined some of the things coming ahead. You've got this streetcar line. Obviously, it's more on the sporting field than what we're doing in public service, but you've had Royals, Chiefs championships. The Current is performing well, which is a wonderful team. 2026 World Cup. You have more growth downtown. Yesterday, Populous, the global architecture design firm, primarily in sports, opened new headquarters and a new office building downtown at 14th and Baltimore. You have got a lot happening in the city. And I know a lot of people get distracted on the politics or on this, that, and the other. But frankly, you know, Kansas City's got it going on right now. And I'm talking about the core of Kansas City. This is the sort of thing we need to make sure we keep going for the years ahead.
It's kind of hard, I think, to really quantify how important this is for the Current and their growth as a team. I've been to a couple of Current games with the parking situation and all of that. The fact that people are going to be able to get on the streetcar, ride it all the way down there, and then ride it all the way back home or back to wherever their car is. I mean, that I just don't think you can quantify how important this is for them, probably of any local company, any local business.
Now, this is outstanding news, and I know you're not in the business of advertising for everybody up and down the line, but you talk about the reinvigoration. You noted parking somewhere. You could park at 43rd and Main or close to it, right? Go to the levee, do whatever, go up on the streetcar line, catch a ride, be in Midtown, be almost anywhere. For the hotel goers, right, this opens up you having to take an Uber absolutely everywhere in this city, and frankly, you will have more people that are able to come to Kansas City for a good weekend or come into town and enjoy one heck of a night going on through the night. I mean, this is a game changer in how we engage and define our city. You know, I went up to Royals at Cubs a few weeks ago or months ago, I guess, right? And I love the number of Kansas Cityans there. We're talking about, yeah, some people would take the train, some walked over from some hotels. You have that type of engagement. That's the sort of thing that this is providing, not to mention good, regular, everyday transit for workers, for women and men in Kansas City. So that's why I think, you know, it can't be overblown what a difference it is making. And I would encourage anybody, even if you know the Plaza, Midtown, all that stuff well, get back down, take a good ride, and see what's going on.
Right now, we're joined by the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quentin Lucas, celebrating the expansion of the streetcar. Was the goal of the city to have this up and running by the World Cup and give it a six-month sort of trial run before we get a lot of visitors into town?
No, I'll be quite honest. My goal was to have it running last summer. But, you know, look, this project's still on time. I was trying to get them to remove some federal requirements. Unfortunately, we still needed to. I wanted people to be able to ride this streetcar as soon as it was ready, because I think it is a wonderful addition to the people of Kansas City. I think it's going to be exciting for anybody who's on it. And, you know, I got to take my four-year-old son on the train with me today. And that was amazing, right? He's seen Carrington. You and I grew up here. This is a totally different Kansas City. This isn't us hopping from, like, area to area that is just totally different. Right? I remember as a kid, I went to the Big 12-8 tournament at, you know, Kemper Arena. That felt like it was in its own universe. You do some up at Bartle Hall. Yeah, I actually am old enough to have gone to the Woodlands, for those of y'all who got some years on you. The racetrack out in Wyandotte County, where the Legends is now. I mean, everything was so diffused. Now we have this opportunity where we're saying Kansas City is connected. We're all part of it. You can get from one thing to another. I think this is going to be something that really poises Kansas City to compete in ways that are different than before. And I will say this. This is not just a train line that is purely just commuter rail, although that has its merits. This is something that's connecting the most exciting and dynamic areas of the Kansas City region onto one line. That is exceptional for us, and I think it's going to be something that pays dividends in the future.
Mayor Q, and just typical media fashion, I have to ask you what's next, even though it's just day one of this. But are we talking about this is it for the streetcar line? Could you see further expansion past UMKC and past the Plaza, or is this it?
Look, we had Kansans who were on the stage with us. We had others. East-West expansion is a really big, important thing. Something I said in my remarks today. I think it's vital that we make sure that we break the truce divide, that is East-West in Kansas City, typically segregation-type patterns. And I think we need to break the state line divide. Imagine for a moment, and this is something that's less tourism, more health care, more jobs. Imagine a connection that gets you from the University of Kansas Hospital, 39th and Rainbow, 39th and State Line and KCK, over to the VA Hospital, for those of y'all who go to Arrowhead a lot, off of Van Brunt, just about 31st and Van Brunt, right? That is a somewhat straight-ish shot that gets a whole lot of folks connected to medical services, to jobs. It crosses Truce, Prospect, a lot of streets that I spend time thinking about each and every day, and frankly, it opens up more of Kansas City. I think East-West is going to be the next phase of it. There's already talk about 18th Street, that connection to 18th and Vine, the new Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, which is going to be at 19th and Paseo. I mean, I think we are ready. We are close. And frankly, people today are excited about what can come next.
Right now, we're talking to the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quentin Lucas. I'm sure you've seen a lot of the complaints. I'm sure you heard a lot of the complaints about the traffic on Main. I mean, it was bad there for about 2 years. You couldn't drive on Main. Now people are kind of frustrated with it potentially being one lane because of the streetcar. As somebody who lives downtown, you just learn how to evolve around it. And it's just not really that big of a deal. That's kind of been my stance on it. But I'm sure you've heard the complaints about it.
No, I've heard all the complaints. I've heard all the different folks. But, you know, I stopped by a restaurant today, Ragazza, which is at 43rd and Main. They had it probably as bad as anybody. Years of construction, and unlike the downtown and Plaza survivors, right, who at least have density, conferences, conventions, all of that to keep them going, they were on their own. I walked into a restaurant at lunchtime that was thrilled, that was excited, that had a good crowd, that had people that were celebrating the opening of this. This is a game changer. And let me tell you something about Kansas City that I've always found interesting. If you are looking to get in and out quickly, there are ways to do it. I-35, 71 Highway, the traffic wave, and I live close to it, but I know y'all be flying through. There are ways. But if you want to enjoy the best of Kansas City, Right. Hop on the streetcar line. If you want to go out to a nice dinner, if you want to do something special after a special day, you know, we are a community that should be proud of our density, our history, and our culture. I was just down in another community. I won't name it necessarily, but, you know, look, they just got strip malls and all of that. And that's one approach, and that's fine, and that's good, honest work. I like to live in a major metropolitan area that has more to offer. You know, we can't just say we're great, but when I'm talking to Brett Yormark, the commissioner of the Big 12, who I spent time with this week, when I'm talking about global firms like Populous that I was with yesterday, when I'm talking to people like FIFA, they want to know the excitement and the energy of Kansas City. And I will say this, because some of y'all listening right now are going to be like, Mayor Q, I don't give a darn about that. I just want it to be efficient. No, you don't. No, you don't. You love living in a Kansas City that has things going on. And this is a sign of things going on. And I guarantee it is still a place that somebody can conveniently get in and out and get through.
It's in my contract that I have to ask you a question about the stadium every time you come on. So let's just go ahead and get those questions out of the way. There was a letter from the mayor of North Kansas City saying that they're having conversations with the Royals. What did you think of the letter?
Look, you're not going to see that from Kansas City. I like the mayor of North Kansas City. He's a good man. We all have different approaches, but in Kansas City, Missouri, the way we do it is we have our conversations. The conversations have not stopped with the teams. I read and watch with interest. I mean, look, Carrington, you covered this ad nauseum like everybody else. 5-6 months ago, there was somebody on your station that was saying that letters are going to be signed and a deal's announced in a few days. You know, 2 weeks ago, Kansas City Star's reporting that, yeah, it's imminent with North Kansas City. Everybody's got a different thing every day of the week. You're not going to know anything until it's time to know something. And I'm not going to try to get into this sort of rat race. I mean, I think over in Kansas, you got a guy from Wichita who's trying to run for governor. So he's getting in the news about it. You got others who are kind of chest pumping on things that I'm not sure if it's time for it. And in Kansas City, you know, slow and steady wins the race. We've kept our relationships with the teams. I certainly will tell you this. I think if there's any person that to a man says, wow, in the last day, somebody just look at my calendar. I went to a global headquarters opening a block from the streetcar line downtown. I was on the streetcar opening today. I was at the Kansas City Marathon with 10,000 runners on Saturday morning. All of this within two blocks of this streetcar line. I think it's a no-brainer in some ways as to where the stadium should go. And I think if somebody's being honest, it's a no-brainer as to where the stadium should go. I think common sense, good economics are going to be the thing that makes a difference. I talked to the new Jackson County executive today about a lot of it, too. I feel good with where we are, but I ain't going to tell you any stories about what's imminent tomorrow or the day after because it's not my place.
I was just going to ask, are you guys still having conversations with the Royals? Are you still communicating with the Royals? Obviously, they're looking at different sites, but would you say that those communications are positive with the Royals?
Our conversations never end, and I think our conversations always stay positive. So, you know, I'm proud of where we are. That's all I got to say. You're not going to see anything from me until it's time. And don't worry, you'll be invited to a press conference. We'll put you in the front row, and we'll get to talk about the next big thing in Kansas City. But I want to ask you this, and all your listeners this. You know, what is the exciting story that you want to hear? Because I think if they go to some of the other spots, people will be saying, okay, you know, whatever. Interesting, maybe good, maybe bad. Some people care about the state line. I don't really. I'm just excited about how dynamic downtown Kansas City is compared to when CDOT and I were little kids in the 90s when there wasn't nothing going on. So I think that we need to keep that momentum going. I think that's a difference that Kansas City has. That's something we continue to share positively, but we'll have more to share when we have more to share.
I got two things and I'll get you out of here. First off, I know you've eaten at 1587 Prime. What's your official review?
Quentin Lucas official review. Outstanding dishes. The cuts of meat are particularly fantastic. It is a price point, though. So if you're taking your lady, your friend, whatever, you know, make sure you already paid your bills for the month. But it's a very, very good experience. The ambiance is wonderful. You know, I look forward to making it back. And I told my wife we're going to make it back in about a year.
You know, this is very important. When you order a steak, how are you getting your steak cooked?
I get mine medium well. I'm maybe a little more well done than other people want it, but you know, I actually like the crisps on the side in particular. I know I got people looking at me like, damn, Q, we thought you had judgment, but that's how I tend to roll with it.
All right, we've been asking everybody this question over the last couple of weeks. What is the word that you really struggle with and spell check has to take over? So we asked Mahomes this question. He said his word is itinerary. Mine is convenience. I have no clue how to spell convenience. I let spell check take over every single time. time. What is that word that trips you up?
Mine is going to sound so simple, and y'all will not believe that I have a law degree, a good one at that, too, but canceled is always interesting because a lot of the airports sometimes try to drop the L that's in there, and so are the extra L. And so sometimes you deal with that. One L or two, it's two, of course, but I know sometimes that can be interesting for people. I probably have, there are much harder words that I mess up too, but I don't know them right now.
Whenever it comes to KU and K-State, are you allowed to pick somebody, or are you just staying out of Kansas business?
I love my Kansas business, man. I lived in Hutchinson, Kansas years ago. I'm all about it. But on this one, I'm going to wear my Big 12 hat just say good luck to everybody. But you may not know this, but I'm still on the faculty of the University of Kansas. But I'm just going to wish a great game for everybody. Although, let me be fair. My brother, AD, Travis, I know Travis Goff is doing good work over there, the new stadium. I wish them well, but I don't need all the K-State people coming at me. So good luck to everyone. I'm probably a little more KU tomorrow, but I hope it's a good game regardless. And then Missouri over Vanderbilt all the way.
I was just going to say, I mean, that's the most politician answer because you like didn't want to answer and then you basically said you were picking KU. That was really good. You got a lot of practice doing this.
Hey, man, I love every man a Wildcat. I love y'all too. Just a few more contacts to KU. That being said, I hope it's good. But look, it's going to be a great weekend of football for Kansas City sports fans. And then hopefully everybody comes downtown, rides the streetcar line, fills up some bars and restaurants all Saturday.
That is the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quentin Lucas, joining us on the show. I would say that we'll have you on whenever we get real stadium news, but I don't know when we'll get real stadium news, so I'll find a reason to have you on the show.
We're going to be old. I'm playing now. We'll get something useful here, hopefully, before the end of the year.
This is Wyatt Thompson from K-State, and you're listening to The Drive with CDOT right here on 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Drive. First to breaking news in Kansas City.
Oh, we got breaking news here on The Drive. Rob Britton right now in for Carrington Harrison. Carrington slunk out early. He had a flight to catch. He gave me the 5:30 and 5:45 segment. He thought, it's a Friday night. I'll get out of town. Oh, was he wrong? Breaking news into The Drive per Nate Taylor, who you heard on the show about half an hour ago. New story. Chiefs left tackle Josh Simmons expected to rejoin the team in a few weeks. He goes on to say within the article, a logical timeline would be early November following the Chiefs bye. But I will bring in Logan Weber now. Logan, Nate's story gives us a more definitive timeline to expect Chiefs left tackle Josh Simmons to rejoin the team.
Thank goodness. Now I think everybody can stop speculating their heads completely off their shoulders. That's first and foremost. People can stop trying to throw darts at the dartboard and trying to guess as to what the situation is. We heard from Andy yesterday. Now this news today. It sounds as if Simmons is going to be back at some point this year, because that was a long time conversation, right? Their consideration of, will Josh Simmons return at all this year? We're going to get him back. And it sounds as though it's not going to be for the Bills game. Obviously not for this game on Monday against the Commanders. But that bye week hits, maybe you get him back for that Broncos game, or even the following week, that'll be a massive game against the Indianapolis Colts.
So we're taking this in real time. So let me ask you this, because Nate's story does say a logical time. He doesn't say hard and fast definitive, but a logical time for Josh Simmons to rejoin the team would be after the bye week, during the bye week, excuse me. So that would be after the Bills game, which would mean he will have missed four games with the team. And Jalen Moore, to date, with two of the games he's missed, we still have two to be determined in theory, has played really good left tackle. Do you think Josh Simmons is walking back and his starter job is locked and it is his, or is he coming back to a competition? Because I would say we now know a timeline. We do not know the why, and I can't speak for your show, Logan, but Carrington, I've always said, I honestly don't care about the why. Yeah. I've always just wondered the what's next. We now have an idea of what's next. Is Joshua Simmons coming back to be a starter, or is he just coming back to the team, in your opinion, because of how Jalen Moore has played?
I would say it's probably more of the latter, in my opinion. The way that Jalen Moore has played these last few weeks, and frankly, the situation that the Kansas City Chiefs are in. I'm not saying that he's going to come back and Jalen Moore is going to be the de facto starter, but I also believe that he's not just going to come back and automatically be the number one left tackle again. You mentioned the word competition. There's going to be a battle now at that left tackle position, again, starting from the time Josh Simmons arrives back in Kansas City through potentially the rest of this regular season. And that is because the Kansas City Chiefs are a Super Bowl contending football team. That is not news to anybody on planet Earth, but it's important to think about that when it comes to this context, because if Josh Simmons was the starting left tackle for the New York Jets or the Miami Dolphins, then there's certainly an opportunity for Simmons to come back and immediately be reinserted into that left tackle spot, because it's not as if the Jets or the Dolphins are in a real contention sort of mindset. They're not vying for a division title. They're not vying for a high seed and trying to get themselves to a Super Bowl for a chance at a Lombardi. That's where the Chiefs are. And if there's one thing we know about this Kansas City Chiefs team, as good as Josh Simmons was prior to his leaving the team to handle his family situation, they are going to play the guy that they believe is best suited for the moment to help them win football games, because that is all that matters to the Kansas City Chiefs. Not next year, not 2 years from now, not 3 years from now, which if the Chiefs were in a different mode, it would change your thinking, right? Because Josh Simmons does appear to be the left tackle of the future for the Kansas City Chiefs, not Jalen Moore. But Jalen Moore has been with the team all year. Even when he wasn't starting, even when he wasn't playing, he was still at practice every day. He was at all the games. He was getting meaningful reps. Not only has Josh Simmons not played the last 2 weeks and presumably the next couple of weeks as well, he hasn't practiced either. He's not just missing a month of games. He's missing a month of practices, of team workouts, of film sessions, of individual one-on-one meetings with Andy Reid or position coaches. Those are important things to factor into this decision-making process if you're the Kansas City Chiefs. I think Josh Simmons is going to have to fight it out with Jalen Moore for the remainder of the year, and I'm not sure he's going to be able to get it back this season with the way that Jalen Moore has played thus far, barring an injury to either Jalen Moore himself or potentially the right tackle.
So I largely agree with what you're saying. Play the best players. Jalen Moore's been the best player. He's been here more. He will have, in theory, been through the Bills game at that point, which we think is one of the more important games on the Chiefs' schedule. So I understand everything you're saying when you say that. But it just, there's something about the Chiefs' schedule on the back half that feels like you have a chance to get him back up to playing shape, I guess, up to par. And I think when we saw both them in July in training camp, the coaching staff, the powers that be, said Josh Simmons is the guy. Because I pulled up the Chiefs schedule, and if you're just tuning in, Nate Taylor has a story on ESPN. Go click it, read it. Josh Simmons expected to rejoin the team in a few weeks. In his story, he says a logical timeline would be during the bye week. That would make sense following the Bills game. Following the Bills game, they have a bye, as we mentioned. Broncos and Colts, those are two games that I don't think people in preseason anticipated being, oh man, really important. Yeah. Unless you are, you know, Daniel Jones' significant other, and then you probably bet on it. But other than that, but after that, it kind of throttles down for a while, and there is a window where, in theory, you can get Josh Simmons back up to the level you need him to be. There's a Texans game. That game is – the Texans are not at all what we anticipated. The Chargers, I assume they'll be hurt by that point. That's what happens to the Chargers. Then there's the Titans. I do not want to watch that game under any circumstance because the Titans are horrible. Like, there's a window there where maybe you carry Jalen Moore through the Denver game, but then you can turn around and go back to Josh Simmons because – and I agree with you, six circumstances have changed – but in July, with nothing but practice time, nothing but reps, nothing but film to watch, Andy Reid, Matt Nagy, and Andy Heck said, oh yeah, the 20-something who hasn't played football in a year, he's our guy. I think they're going to try to make him the guy again at some point this season. And that window following the Thanksgiving game feels like the window to get him back up to the level you need to be, and you still have Jalen Moore as a break glass in case of emergency and a backup in that world.
Yeah, no question about it. I just do not want to see this situation turn into the debacle that was the left tackle position a year ago. Now, I believe that Jalen Moore and Josh Simmons are both better left tackle options than anybody the Chiefs had last year, but it just felt like we were juggling who the left tackle was going to be, and I don't think it does anybody any good, whether that's Josh Simmons or Jalen Moore, to make this like a week by week sort of a decision-making process, or God forbid these guys are like alternating drives at left tackle as they try to figure out who the number one is going to be. Find out who your guy is, in my view, and stick with that guy, because I think continuity is going to be the best thing for this Chiefs team as you get into late November, December, and obviously into January in our best of hopes, February, with another shot at a Super Bowl.
That is where me and you are going to agree with this 100%. Continuity is king. And if Andy Reid, Andy Heck, Matt Nagy, Patrick Mahomes, Brett Veach, whoever's in charge making the decision says, hey, Jalen Moore's been the guy, continuity is king, we're going to keep it with Jalen Moore the rest of the season. Josh, we're sorry about what happened, whatever happened in your life. We're sorry you lost your job for the rest of this season because of that. We'll circle back next season. I wouldn't hate that outcome. I would also tell you there's the other side of that coin with continuity is king, and the fact that Josh Simmons was the starter, you can get back to that level of continuity. We will continue to talk about this as we have one segment left on the show. We will take a break here in a minute. Breaking news, like I said, into the drive for ESPN, our friend Nate Taylor. Joshua Simmons expected to rejoin the Chiefs in a few weeks. The logical timeline would be following the Bills game during the bye. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about, well, you know, last night we did an NFL game, at least for a while, until the Vikings stopped playing, and it featured an AFC West team. Is the AFC West a three-team race? We'll talk more about the breaking news and the AFC. That's next, coming up. This is The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, a show that prides itself on getting it right.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5, The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the show. Rob Brinton in for Carrington Harrison today. He slunk out a little early to catch a flight. Oh, ho, ho. Joke is on him as we had breaking news into the show. Per Nate Taylor, friend of the show, Joshua Simmons' timeline is now known. He is expected to rejoin the team in a few weeks, presumably after the bye. We've been talking about what his return means to the team and what, if he returns, is he going to be the starter? Text line 913-586-7965, joined here by Logan Weber, taking you up until after hours. Logan, top text in the text line, I want to get your thoughts on this, and then we'll talk about the AFC West here in a minute, because I know how I feel about this, but the top text... Guys, could either Simmons or Moore switch to the right side now that Simmons is coming back so we don't have to deal with Jawan Taylor anymore, or does it make Jawan Taylor a possible trade piece? I will tell you this. I'll make this very simple, and I want to hear what you think, Logan. A, no one is trading for Jawan Taylor. No one. Zero people want Jawan Taylor. Also, Nate Taylor's story made it seem like his return to the field, he being Joshua Simmons, will be after the trade deadline, so I don't think he's tradable, he being Jawan Taylor, nor would I trade him. And two, I do not want a situation where now it's three players fighting for two spots at tackle. So I would say the Chiefs got to figure out which one of their two options is their left tackle going forward. I would not throw the right tackle into the fold, but how do you feel about the idea of, hey, now that Josh Simmons is back and we've seen Jalen Moore play well, Jawan Taylor could end up riding some pine? I'm curious your thoughts. I am adamantly against it, but I'm just curious where you land on this.
I am so tired of people complaining about Jawan Taylor. I'm so tired of it.
He's been good for two. He was bad for a while, but was good the last 2 weeks.
He hasn't been penalized in four games. That's been the biggest gripe against Jawan Taylor is penalties. He has not been penalized for four consecutive weeks. The only time that he technically had a penalty against him was actually on Tyquan Thornton, who was lined up on the ball, and they threw the flag against Jawan Taylor for an illegal formation. He is currently, among all tackles in the National Football League, 18th in lowest pressure rate allowed. He is a pretty good right tackle, and he has been much better this year compared to last year. You're exactly right. Josh Simmons is not going to be back before the trade deadline. Even if he was, nobody's trading for $20 million a year out of Jawan Taylor. The plan is what the plan has always been that we've talked about now for months, since the day Josh Simmons was drafted after they signed Jalen Moore. Regardless of what happens with Jalen Moore and Josh Simmons this year, Jawan Taylor's probably going to be cut to save that $20 million, you know, that massive cap hit. Jalen Moore is going to move to right tackle. Josh Simmons is going to be left tackle. It's pretty much inconsequential to have this argument, and I'm so tired of hearing people complain about Jawan Taylor because he has actually been pretty good for the last month.
I have 100% agree with you. I'll say this. I'm surprised. Now, I don't want to say this one texter is speaking for the entire fan base of the Chiefs, so maybe this is me extrapolating something out, and that's unfair by me, but I'm surprised of any fan base in the NFL that Chiefs fans will be the ones saying, hey, we don't want to have a third good tackle in the fold. We're cool trading one away now that we think we have two. If there's one team, one fan base in the league that understands, hey, one injury can undo a season fast, you think it'd be Chiefs fans, right? Like, have Chiefs fans forgotten that you could argue both their Super Bowl losses are because they took so many injuries in the offensive line? Like, it is a really good problem to have. The Chiefs are going to have here in a few weeks from Nate Taylor's reporting that Joshua Simmons is going to be back. Simmons is good. We've seen him play. He's good. Jalen Moore, we've seen him play. He's good. Jawan Taylor, as you mentioned, he had a rough start to the season. No one's going to argue the other side of that. But recently, he has been good. It is, what's the term they use, an embarrassment of riches that they have three good tackles. I'm surprised Chiefs fans specifically are the ones telling me, oh, I would trade and just carry the two. Why? Why wouldn't you want an abundance considering the last two Super Bowl losses you've taken, what they looked like?
It just, people are taking this a step further than it needs to be. I mean, I could understand the gripe around Jawan Taylor last year, especially with the amount of money that you're paying him. Anybody who believes that guy is going to be traded at any point is exhibiting wishful thinking. And do we really, even if it was a possibility, do you want to trade Jawan Taylor after Josh Simmons comes back, having not played in a month plus? and just throw him into that situation when you could have Jalen Moore and Juwan Taylor, guys who have been in that lineup for the past month plus, making things happen, doing a good job. I mean, look at the numbers between Juwan Taylor one-on-one with Max Crosby on Sunday. And I know Crosby got hurt in that football game, but that's one of the best edge rushers in the National Football League. He did not generate a hit, a sack, or a pressure against Patrick Mahomes when he was one-on-one in pass protection against Juwan Taylor. That's the kind of day he had against Vegas last Sunday. He's playing good football. Keep rolling with the man.
We're up against the break here. I know that we're going to be out of here in a minute. I also say this. I know that trade Juwan Taylor is a popular take. His contract's untradeable.
Untradeable.
No one's taking that contract. Also, just to lay out the timeline, not that it matters, Nate Taylor is saying a timeline that makes sense is early November, which would be during the bye week. That's the same week as the trade deadline. So you want Josh Simmons to return from parts unknown? Hey, you're now the left tackle starter. I assume the Chiefs know, but he hasn't played football in four games. He's not making me in football game shape. It seems like a foolish errand to talk about trading Juwan Taylor. Logan, thank you so much for popping in for the last two segments.
Yes, sir.
I look forward to listening to you on After Hours here in about 8-9 minutes. I have a hunch this conversation will come up in about 8-9 minutes from now. Thank you, everyone, for listening today. Thank you all the people who came on the show. Matt Tate, John Kurtz, Mayor Quentin Lucas, Nate Taylor, everyone. Thank you for on the show. Brandon Kiley, thank you to everyone. I'll let Daniel Craig take you home.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.